A reading from the second, from the first letter of Peter, chapter 2, verses 4 to 9. Beloved, come to him, a living stone rejected by human beings, but chosen and precious in the sight of God. And, like living stones, let yourselves be built into a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For it says in Scripture, Behold, I am laying a stone in Zion, a cornerstone chosen and precious, and whoever believes in it shall not be put to shame. Therefore its value is for you who have faith, but for those without faith, the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, and a stone that will make people stumble and a rock that will make them fall. They stumble by disobeying the word, as is their destiny. You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people of his own, so that you may announce the praises of the one who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. The word of the Lord. I am an itinerant preacher, and I happen to be on the road these very days. And so this sharing here will not exactly be a preaching, but just speaking out loud some ideas and some a sense of where the scriptures of this Sunday are going. So please bear with me. First of all, this particular reading offers us this wonderful, powerful image of living stones. The early disciples, the early church, knew what the holy city of Jerusalem was and looked like, and they knew the temple built of huge stones. They knew what a temple that was built of stone was and looked like. And yet, here in this first letter of Peter, there's this new image being connected to the very well-known image of the temple. So this image of these stones are alive. And there's a tension in this reading, because these living stones are related to this rejected stone. And so there's a life that's coming out of this rejected stone. So we need to deal with this tension in this reading. The stone that seems to be the deadest, the rejected stone, is actually the source of life for the living stone. So the risen Christ, the rejected stone, it's out of this death, this rejection, that the life of this new church, this new temple, will be born. I'd like to say a word connecting this to the first reading from the Acts of the Apostles, because I think it gives us a marvelous example of how the early church experienced itself as living stones. It's the story, as we know, about the birthing of this new ministry of the deacons in the early church. It's a wonderful example of a living church, a living temple, a living community that faced the daily situations, the daily problems, with reflection and prayer and communal discernment and decision making. A living body, a living, breathing body. There's a problem. The Hellenists are complaining that the Hebrew widows are being treated better than they are. The community comes together with the blessing of the apostles. The apostles call the community together. And basically give the community the power to do a discernment process. We need to respond to this need. We need to find some way to keep growing, to answer these needs. So we ask you all to come together to talk, to discern, to make decisions. And when you have a proposal, come back to us. And this beautiful image of the disciples, in other words, the whole community, presenting these deacons that have been chosen by the community, and the apostles praying, laying hands on them, and we see this flourishing of the Word of God in the early church. It's such a powerful story for us, because it shows us that the church knew itself to be a living organism. Probably there were some people in the community that said, well, we can't do this. Jesus never did this. Jesus didn't have any group of people called deacons that were going to take care of widows. We can only do what Jesus told us to do, or what Jesus did. But that's precisely what does not happen in this text. The early church knows it's alive, knows that it has been anointed by the Spirit, knows that it is a living and a breathing community, and so continues to grow, continues to move forward, continues to think creatively. And a whole new ministry is born out of this early church experience. They knew themselves to be living, breathing stones. I would like to just share a story from Central America, from Honduras. In 1965, in Honduras, a group of peasants from a remote mountain village in the southern part of the country went to speak to their bishop, Bishop Jerin, in the southern diocese of Choluteca, a month or so before Holy Week. And they said to the bishop, "Bishop, every year Holy Week comes around, we never have a priest because we know that there's a shortage of priests in our diocese. And all we've ever been able to do is pray the rosary during Holy Week. And we were wondering if there's not something else we can do to celebrate this important week in our church year." And Bishop Jardine asked them to come back in a few days, and in those days he prepared a little packet for them with the scripture readings of Holy Thursday, Good Friday, Holy Saturday, the Vigil, and Sunday. And he said, take these scripture readings, read them on these holy days, reflect on them together. On Thursday you can wash each other's feet. On Friday, do an adoration of the cross. Here's the Gospel of John for that day, and et cetera, et cetera. They went back to their community, and they celebrated that Holy Week in a whole new way. A few weeks later, they went back to speak to the bishop, and they said, "Bishop, this was such a marvelous experience. Do we have to wait another whole year to do this again, or could we do this more often?" And at this point, the bishop decided that he was going to convoke a diocesan-wide meeting of lay leaders from all the remote villages. He did that a few months later and gave them a model to do a Sunday celebration of the Word of God. Spent some time with them, helping them see how they can do this, how to take the readings of a Sunday, sit down together as a community, share those readings together. One of the people would give a reflection on the readings. They would pray, they would sing, etc., etc. The following year, 1966, the entire Episcopal Conference of Honduras decided to initiate a new ministry within the Church of Honduras called the Delegates of the Word of God. Men and women who are delegated by their bishops to be the local conveners and preachers in these communities that do not have priests for their Sunday celebrations. This was in 1966. Here we are in the year 2008. And there continue to be thousands of delegates of the Word in Honduras, women and men, who gather with their local communities every Sunday and sometimes a couple times during the week as well, and celebrate the Word together. They preach, they pray, they help to bring the community together to talk about the local needs, the situation of the community. They help to connect the Scriptures with the needs of the local community. But what is so beautiful about this one particular experience in Latin America, right after the documents of Vatican II were beginning to come out, is that we see again an example very similar to the Acts of the Apostles story of the church knowing itself to be living, breathing stones. A church that is able to reflect, pray, discern, and make decisions. So I offer these images for our preaching this weekend, hoping that we might reflect some on what it means to be a living church today. How do we continue this process of prayer, discernment, reflection, and decision-making? What are the challenges for the church today in terms of new ministries, new ways of continuing to grow with the growing realities of our world today? I would like to end with a quote from Thomas Merton that I think captures very well these images of the living stones, living church, a community that continues to grow with the times. Merton said this: "The living tradition of the church is like the breath of a physical body. It renews life by repelling stagnation. It is a constant, quiet, peaceful revolution against death." A blessed Easter to all.